The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, online at WTKA.com. We are live here inside the web studio. Mr. Weintraub is live inside the MDN studios of Ann Arbor Radio. Hopefully you all are settled into a routine, a sheltering-in-place routine. And it is, you know, increasingly hard to get your sports fix, filled. But we are here to, you know, as best we can provide you with some, you know, the news of the day in sports. There was one news item, Ira, that admittedly, as I saw it, the headline was one that was, maybe not reflective of the issue, as serious an incident as the headline made it out to be. Now this is not me being apologetic or saying that this is not a serious issue, but ESPN yesterday, I'm sure you've seen this as headline news in all of the publications. ESPN yesterday, they reported, they had a report about Tom Izzo reaching out to a witness to an alleged, assault committed allegedly by one of his players. He had reached out to this alleged witness, according to the ESPN report. Once you read the story, though, and you realize who this witness was, and again, you know, is it somewhat of a gray area? You could say so, but there was a relationship with this alleged witness. It was Braden Smith. Braden Smith, Ira, is the son of former Michigan State standout Steve Smith, who has had a relationship with, Tom Izzo, the coaching staff at Michigan State forever. And so after this alleged incident happened, Tom Izzo, according to this report, reached out to Braden Smith, and he said in the report, he reached out to me to see how I was doing, to make sure I was okay. He asked what happened, but he was reaching out to see, he said, I didn't think that he was reaching out to me to pump me for information. But the interesting thing about the ESPN report and what stuck out to me in that is that relationship, the nature of that relationship, wasn't mentioned. And again, is it a gray area that with him as a possible witness, do you have to be careful by reaching out to him? Sure, you absolutely do. And maybe the prudent thing to do in that situation is not to reach out. But the nefarious sort of connotations of the headline, I think, if you're going to write that, I think you got to also mention that this is not just some random example of a guy reaching out to a witness in an alleged assault. He's known this kid since he was born. So that to me is a little different. Now, again, another place that I come back to this, maybe it wasn't a crime. Maybe it wasn't a violation of Title IX. But man, this sounds awfully similar to Curtis Blackwell reaching out to the guys that he knew when there was an alleged assault, right? I mean, it sounds somewhat similar if he wasn't, suggesting that they do anything, that they do anything wrong, that they obfuscate, that they ignore any try to cover things up. As long as you aren't doing that, you're reaching out to see how guys are doing. There seemed to be nothing wrong with that contact. All things being equal, should it have been something that you avoid, a contact that you maybe back away from? You can make the case for that. But this ESPN, This ESPN headline seemed to be, at least to me, Ira, outside looking in, this ESPN headline seemed to be a bit gratuitous to me.
A little incomplete in the entire body of work. I think the way to sum it up is, should he have done what he did? Probably not. Did he? If he had done this with someone that he had no relationship with, would this have been a big problem? Absolutely. Because there is a long-standing prior relationship here, him doing it. Again, should he have done it? No. Is it a bad look? Yes. Is it criminal or, like, to that level of wrong or to an extreme level of wrong? To that level, probably not. Again, bad look, bad optics, that kind of thing, based on his history with this young man. Again, if it was a stranger, then it would be a totally different story. And, yeah, it was not portrayed as well as it should have been in the article by ESPN, which is what Michigan State fans generally are arguing about, as they like to take their shots at ESPN. And ESPN needs to be extra careful in their work with stories like this so as to not have the ability to poke holes in it. And this one, if you can poke holes in it, then it's not necessarily a very good story.
Yeah, you got to include that. You got to include the nature of the – I mean, it allows people to question your motives when you do that. It makes it look like you are pursuing a narrative as opposed to the story. There are some serious things. Now, make no mistake, there are some serious things to look into at Michigan State. Is there a culture issue as far as things like this are concerned? But you can't skew the evidence, so to speak. I mean, if this is part of the case that you are, part of a broader case that you are trying to make, or part of your broader coverage that you had over the years, you had better be detailed. You had better be neutral in your portrayal. You better be neutral in your reporting, and to not highlight as a part of the story that, look, man, Tom Izzo coached Steve Smith. He's friends with Steve. Dwayne Stevens is a teammate of Steve Smith. They know his son. I mean, it says in the report that, Braden Smith said he considers these coaches to have personal, long-standing relationships with him and his family. These men are like family to him. It says that in the report. So that for ESPN to not highlight that just, again, that does bring into question the motives. I can see how a Michigan State fan or alum would look at that and say, man, this doesn't seem like you're really trying to, you're really trying to paint a picture as opposed to tell the story.
Yeah, and we got a question. We got a question. Theus asked the question: Can MSU sue ESPN? They didn't make it. They didn't. It's not factually incorrect. It's just incomplete.
Right.
So it's not. Right. You can't sue exactly. Over it. It's incomplete. It's not incorrect.
Right. I mean, yeah. They reported on Izzo did contact Braden Smith, and Braden Smith did witness this alleged assault, and there was contact to see how he was doing and what he saw. I mean, that did happen, and so ESPN, in telling that story, it's not like they couldn't be sued for that. I mean, they'd have to knowingly print something false to be subject to any sort of, you could try to sue, but to be in danger of being found guilty, they would have to knowingly print something false. And they did not do that, but you can, did you craft a certain narrative? Did you paint a certain picture, making it look like Tom Izzo just picked up the phone and was trying to do his own investigation? Yeah, that's the impression you get until you realize, wait a minute. I mean, there is reason to believe that there was legitimate concern for this young man that was the witness. Now, in the process of expressing that concern and seeing how he was doing, did you also come close to, or maybe cross the line when you ask him what he saw or what happened? I mean, yeah, you are drifting into a gray area there, if you are Tom Izzo with a case. But this is not just some random person that saw an alleged transgression by one of his players, and him calling up through his own investigation, with someone he didn't know. This is a kid that he's known his whole life, and is made very clear in the report that there is a relationship, a long-standing relationship there, and you got to tell that part of the story if you're ESPN. So I think that this was one that is a bad. I mean, yeah, it's part of this. A bit of a bad look for Tom Izzo, sure, because of that gray area that I'm talking about. This is a bad look for ESPN as well. I mean, you got to be able to call a spade a spade, kind of take off the when it's something this serious. I tend to back away from the whole Michigan State thing, back away from that. And this is one of those times where you need to do that, and just look at it on the merits. And for me, this is one where ESPN this was not the appropriate way to represent this story. Not if you want to look impartial and unbiased. 734-998-1050. I know, Ira, you're getting calls on this. Let's go up to Lansing and talk to Mark. Mark, what's up?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Are you guys
doing great? So,
yeah. I let me chime in a little bit. I know a little bit about. Well, actually, I know a lot about the history here. This war started with between Michigan State and ESPN several years ago, when ESPN submitted a FOIA request asking for all information relating to assaultive behavior on campus, and any investigation conducted by Michigan State. It wasn't limited to the football players. It wasn't limited to athletes. It included all students. And Michigan State responded by issuing the reports, but redacted out the names of the people that were involved. ESPN ended up suing Michigan State in state court. Trial court held that they needed to unredact those, to issue the reports with the names in place. The argument there was, ESPN's argument anyway, which ended up being persuasive, was that they need to know the names to see whether or not there was disparate or favorable treatment given to athletes versus regular people. Anyway, Michigan State ended up appealing that to the Michigan State of Michigan appellate court and lost. And then they appealed it to the Michigan Supreme Court and lost. And as a consequence, ESPN had to expend a lot of money to get these documents, and eventually they were turned over in unredacted form. Fast forward to the piece that they did on Nassar, and Izzo and D'Antonio, which, if you talk to Michigan State people, they feel like it was unfavorable because, or inappropriate, because their argument there was that putting Nassar into a discussion with Izzo and D'Antonio when they had nothing to do with Nassar dirtied up those two, when really it was all about Michigan State. It wasn't about any connection or alleged connection between Izzo and D'Antonio and Nassar. Anyway, during that segment, there was a lot of criticism of Michigan State for failing, or at least the coaches anyway, for failing to conduct their own investigations, for failing to figure out on their own and take disciplinary action where appropriate against players that were on their respective squads. Argument being that you should not depend on prosecutors or police officers. You should take control on your own and impose the appropriate sanction when you determine that there's been something wrong. And the same criticism was alleged against Michigan State. Generally, when it came to Nassar, the institutional people and administrators should have been taking action against him and not waited on the police or any other authority to take action for them. So I kind of see, coming off coming off those discussions, in addition to what you and Ira have just identified when it comes to the relationship between Izzo and this particular witness, who, by the way, was not the victim. And based on what ESPN was able to provide in the account, in the article, there doesn't seem to be anything nefarious that went on. There seemed to be a guy that just was trying to figure out what went on so that he could take whatever appropriate action he needed to take. So anyway, those are my thoughts, so that I'm glad you're talking about it, because, you know, as you expect, it's kind of a hot topic here. And often when it comes to these kind of situations, unfortunately, it turns on partisan lines, and people see what they want to see and go after who they want to go after. Anyway, I appreciate your willingness to be objective and breaching this and broaching this conversation this morning. I guess I have to listen a little bit longer and work a little bit. Thanks, and hope you guys are being safe. Bye.
Yeah, you too, man. You saw the headline, it grabs you like, wow, Izzo really did that? it strikes you. Then you read it, and you see the name, you see who this witness is, and you go into the relationship that's there. It's like, wait a minute, how can you? You can report this if you're ESPN, and you can report that this is, you know, there's a line here, you know, that a gray area that maybe he obviously waded into, and you could make the argument that in an instance like this, that even with the relationship, that you gotta stick it, regardless of what the criticism in the past was, that you are not to be contacting witnesses to cases like this, right? I mean, you know, your investigation, unfortunately, while tasked with doing them yourself, as a coach, you are limited in the scope of your investigation. You cannot go through questioning witnesses yourself. You can question your players. You can talk to your players and say, hey, man, what's going on here? What did you do? As you would do, you would talk to your players, and you wouldn't instruct them to do anything to cover up or obfuscate, but that is in your purview as their coach to, hey, you know, what happened here? Like you would do, ordinarily. So you can do that kind of investigating, but you can't do, what the authorities would do. That is a no-no. But the difference here, in the gray area here, is based on the relationship, and the young man, it is expressly laid out in the report. And so, like I said, ESPN, you can cover that. You can talk about the gray area or depict the issues with the line that may have been crossed here. But you have to also highlight the fact that he was reaching out to someone that he's known, and not just known in passing, not just known for a little while, but is known for this kid's whole life, and, you know, has a longstanding family-like relationship with. That's different. That's different, and cast things in a different light. And you are doing, the story, the coverage, an injustice. You're certainly doing the readers an injustice if you cast the news in that way. So it calls into question motive. You know, are you looking to tell the story, or are you trying to take shots? And there is reason to ask that question when you see something like this. And that's not me saying that there aren't some serious cultural issues to explore, investigate, cover, report on, wonder about at Michigan State. There are. I just don't think that this is an example of that. It's my opinion. 7:46 on a Friday, TGIF. We got recruiting roundup on the other side. Time of the show, we give you the latest and the greatest in football and our basketball recruiting. Talk about a couple of commitments, one that you saw coming, and then also getting to some questions, or one big question that I got last night, wanted me to address it in the recruiting round, so I'll get to that on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.